Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Akhbayi. Only a few days remain for the martial law to end in the Persian Gulf island of Bahrain. But as things stand, more abuse has been reported at the hands of Saudi-backed Bahraini forces. In this news analysis, we will look at where Bahrain is headed to, including the most recent examples of abuse and torture, which involved women doctors, not to mention Bahraini journalists who have complained of unjust treatment as well.
Out of prison, but in fear of being arrested again, Bahraini women doctors have spoken of abuse and torture while in detention. Authorities accuse them of abusing their jobs and siding with protesters. Some doctors face charges of stealing blood units and splashing it on the wounded to exaggerate their injuries for the sake of media cameras. The doctors say they were repeatedly beaten up, subjected to electric shocks, and threatened with rape. They say the abusive treatment forced some of them to make false confessions. One female doctor cites her interrogator.
I advise you that we will get you to say whatever we want, either by you saying it willingly, or we will beat you like a donkey and torture you until you say it.
But the doctors are not the only victims of Bahrain's heavy-handed crackdown on the opposition. In March, the Manama regime resorted to forces from Saudi Arabia and other members of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council to crush the uprising that has been threatening the Al Khalifa ruling family. Since then, scores of people have died, many of them under torture in police custody. Dozens of places of worship have been demolished and copies of the holy Muslim book, Quran, desecrated. Thousands, including human rights activists, teachers, and religious leaders, have been abducted or arrested. Many professionals, including journalists, say they have been sacked unfairly from their jobs or harassed for backing the demonstrations. 21 opposition figures are now on military trial on charges of seeking to overthrow the system. They too allege having been tortured in prison. International rights groups have strongly criticized Bahrain's use of violence against civilians, but the United Nations and the Western powers have refused to take a strong stance. The female doctors have now been set free after being forced to sign papers of repentance and promising not to take part in any rallies or talk to media. But many others still remain locked up with their fate in question.
Well, there were lots of human rights violations that was cited in that report. We're going to try to get to the bottom of what that means and, of course, the international lack of reaction to it, I should say. Our guests for this news analysis include, from London, Rodney Shakespeare, who's the chair of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain. And from Beirut, we have Jamal Wakim at the Lebanese International University. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us in this news analysis. Rodney Shakespeare, first to you. You heard some of the violations taking place there, and I believe you have something to tell us about female doctors in terms of what they experience and any other relevant details regarding the abuse that has taken place where they're concerned.
When the female nurses and doctors were arrested, they were taken into prison, whipped with thick rubber hoses, electrocuted with cattle prods, and then have their faces smashed against the wall. And that's prior to forcing them to make written confessions. Now, it's in the confessions that there's something very significant. They were forced to sign papers saying that when patients were brought into hospital, they put their hands inside the wound and pulled apart so that the wound was twice, three times, four times, five times greater than it would otherwise have been. Now, there's no doubt that the wounds on these people, patients, were terrible wounds. Why on earth should the Khalifa killers force the nurses to say that they created the wounds? Well, there's only one explanation for that, and it is the use of dum-dum bullets either by the killer Khalifa forces or by the Saudi perverts who get their kicks out of beating up little girls. You see, a normal bullet would, generally speaking, go straight through and make a hole. It wounds you, it puts you out of battle, it puts you down. But if you get a file or a knife and nick the end of the bullet, it will splay. And as a result, when it goes into the person, the hole is 3, 4, or 5 times wider than it would otherwise have been, and the wound is terrible. Needless to say, this practice is banned by international law, and there's only one other explanation, which is that the killer Khalifas and the Saudi perverts have been using explosive bullets, and even I don't believe that. So there you have it. Ordinary weapons, supplied, of course, by my own country, and I'm disgusted with them, the fact that we're providing them with these weapons, that my Prime Minister dares to shake hands with a smirking Crown Prince who oversees all the torture, and what is now the case is overseeing the use of dum-dum bullets. This is the most disgraceful thing to come out of the present disturbances, and my country is hand in glove with the use of dum-dum bullets, and so is the American government.
Jamal Wakeem, that's a very descriptive description there by the chair of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain, Rodney Shakespeare, in which he mentions UK. We have to look at the UK involvement based on the recent reports. Now, the Saudi Arabian National Guard, as reports have indicated, was given A, weapons, B, public order training by the UK to help C, quash peaceful protests. I've broken that up into three parts because each one of those obviously violates the end result, which is quashing these peaceful protests. Can you elaborate for those three points that I just made?
Well, regarding the practices done by the Bahraini police and the Saudi forces, regarding these technical practices described by Mr. Shakespeare, I'm no medic expert in this matter, but I know for sure that these practices are meant to compel the demonstrators to just back down and no longer protest in claiming their rights. So this is for sure a practice against human rights, and it's a war crime or a crime against humanity that should be dealt with by the international court, especially that it's abusing the rights and mainly targeting people in hospitals, injured people in direct intention to kill them and to spread terror to other people so that they would no longer participate in demonstrations. Sorry if you can remind me of the two other points.
Well, the points that I'm making has to deal with the UK involvement, which involved, as I said, weapons. It involved public order training by the UK to help the last point quash peaceful protests. Yeah. And that training included weapons, field craft, general military skills training, as well as incident handling, bomb disposal. I could keep on going. Search for public order, sniper training.
Yeah. Well, the UK involvement in this sense is meant to keep, Bahrain under the Khalifa, the Al-Khalifa rule, because Bahrain is so important for the UK and for the United States. Of course, in this sense, the United States is relying on the UK because of its long-standing history in Bahrain as a colonial power for nearly 2 centuries to support the Khalifa dynasty, which was installed actually by the British colonial power back in the 19th century to control the island against what they accuse of being Iranian instigated demonstrations, which is not the case, because I know many people from Bahrain who are of different political trends. Some of them are Islamists, some of them are Arab nationalists, some others are leftists, and some others are liberals. They only claim their rights as citizens in an island that was totally confiscated by the Khalifa tribe and that is dealt with as a personal property for these people. Imagine, I was told by one friend, that in an island they have no access to the beach, for example. They never see the beach in this island because the whole beach area was confiscated by the Khalifa dynasty to have resorts, for example. So this is a basic right for people living in an island to see the beach, which is the least. They are not even claiming this. They are claiming the right to freedom of speech. They are claiming the right to be treated as citizens, mm-hmm. to express their concern with too many things that are the basic livelihood of any human being in the world. So it's not that they are claiming, the installment of a totally new regime. They are just claiming their rights to have education, their rights to express their freedom
right.
of speech. But the problem here is that the UK and the United States see this only in terms of power struggle between them and Iran, which is not the case. I don't see that there is much involvement of Iran in the affairs of the island. It's
right.
mainly poverty.
We're going to expand more a little bit of some of the different points you raised there, Jamal Waqeem. Let me introduce right now to get some idea about what's going on the ground. Mohammad Al-Muskati, he's the head of the Youth Society on Human Rights, who joins us on the phone from Manama. Mohammad Al-Muskati, it was in March when Saudi troops entered Bahraini soil along with UAE troops. We need to mention that. At this point, given the fact that in a few days' time the martial law is going to end, given the fact that we keep getting reports, the most recent being abuse of the Bahraini female doctors who were just released and were daring enough to come and courageous enough to talk about what took place, can you please tell us where Bahrain is headed to?